Chapter 27. David Moore, the brilliant filmmaker who hadn't made a film in years, had a website devoted to himself. Arrogant prick. Back at his desk, Kovac looked it over. It wasn't a cheap deal. Sharp graphics, great color, a little slideshow montage of his work, a lot of self-aggrandizing crap about his credentials and awards he had won in the past. He certainly made himself sound like a genius. Kovac wondered if he ever got a call off this site to produce anything, or if it was just for ego. He knew nothing about the making of documentary films, except that when he watched one on PBS, they always seemed to be funded by grants from big oil companies and private trusts for the endowment of the arts, the latter of which was apparently where Edmund Ivers came into the game. He didn't know what kind of a living a man could make doing what David Moore did. Seemed to him that if the guy only got one film made in a decade, either he made a boatload of money doing it, or he was leeching off his wife. Kovac suspected choice B. David Moore was all talk and no walk. His most recent work had been producing the occasional commercial for local television. The best thing Kovac could see about Moore's website was that the jerk had included numerous photographs of himself. Photographs of him hard at work and 20 pounds thinner. Photographs of him in black tie at some awards bash. Carrie was with him in that one. She looked happier then, with a brilliant smile, her hand on her husband's arm, a knockout dress that flashed a little skin. She would have been a prosecutor at the time, trying to make a name for herself in the county attorney's office, and husband had been at the top of his game, the man of the hour. Cut from the same inferior materials as Liska's ex, Kovac thought. Big mouth, fragile ego. What had Carrie said? That her husband resented her. With guys like that around, it was a pure damn wonder that women bothered to associate with men at all. Not that he'd been any great catch himself, Kovac admitted. At least he couldn't say he had ever resented either of his wives when he'd been married to them. Afterward, it was a whole other matter. The four-star Marquette Hotel had been designed as part of the central complex of the IDS Center, a soaring 50-plus dramatic stories of dark glass. The hotel connected to the main office tower via the Crystal Court, a glass-enclosed 23,000-square-foot urban park with a glass ceiling 121 feet above the ground and a 105-foot cascading water fountain at its center. The complex connected to the rest of the city by the Skyway system, enclosed second-story sidewalks that linked most of the major buildings downtown. The Skyways allowed you to travel by foot all over downtown without ever setting a toe outdoors, a great thing when winter temperatures dropped well below zero and the winds howled through the concrete canyons of the city. At the front desk, Kovac showed his badge to a young clerk who immediately went and fetched the manager, a rail-thin, red-haired man with a very serious face. Brendan Whitman, his name tag said. Kovac went through the introduction business again, then showed Whitman the photograph of David Moore he had printed from the website.